Everybody, I'm Michael.
I'm Justin.
And you're listening to the Film Ninjas Podcast. On today's episode, we are talking all about comic book movies. So we're going over Captain America, The Winter Soldier, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, X-Men, Days of Future Past, and I'm sure we got a couple more things that we want to talk about. But first off, we got a little bit of news for you, Film Ninjas listeners. Last week, we told you that we had a special trivia question that we're going to ask you about last week's episode, our spring movie preview. Just a little side note. Part 2 is coming out next week, so be tuning in for that. But about our contest, we're giving away some Film Ninjas t-shirts. Last week we said just one. This week, we're giving away up to 3 Film Ninjas t-shirts, completely custom t-shirts. And here's the reason why.
Yeah, so we put up a lot of our podcasts on Podomatic, and that's where most of our stuff is based. And over the weekend, you guys were so kind enough to listen to our stuff so much that we were the number one film-related podcast on Podomatic.
Absolutely. Number one, you guys blew the competition out of the water, and I have no idea how that even happened.
But we thank you guys so much.
So because of that, we're giving away 2 more t-shirts. So the first 3 people to answer in correctly via email to today's question, which we're going to reveal at the end of the episode. So no sneaking away and trying to run off and answer the question while you're listening to this podcast. You gotta wait till the very end, sucker. All right. But yeah, on top of that, we're talking about last week's episode, the spring movie preview. We talked about Noah. We talked about Godzilla. Mm-hmm. If you haven't listened to that, go ahead and check that out. Next week, we got Maleficent and 22 Jump Street that we're talking about.
Yep.
So tune in for that one. That's our second part to that. But today, we're talking about comic book movies. So, you know, all the ones that we've been looking forward to since last year, pretty much. I remember at Comic-Con, they're, you know, hyping up everything about the new Captain America movie, the new Spider-Man movie.
X-Men. Avengers.
X-Men's coming out. The Avengers is coming out next year. And especially Guardians of the Galaxy, because, you know, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, that's coming out, I think, what, next week? April 4th.
April 4th, yeah.
Yes. I'm looking forward to watching that one.
So Captain America, The Winter Soldier, some of you may have missed it, but they put out a first 10-11 minute clip about the movie.
Yeah, I mentioned that last week on the Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you guys ever watch that, Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. on ABC, or check your local listings.
That really got us both pumped to watch this movie. And out of what you've seen from Captain America so far, what are you looking forward to most about it?
Oh, Anthony Mackie as the Falcon.
Yeah, that's right.
That guy seems legit. If you haven't seen the first 11 minutes, it's kind of hard to find by now.
There are
some places where you can go and find it. But it might be a little illegitimate, but
The more popular places have had them taken down from public viewing.
If it's been on the internet,
it's coming out soon.
If it's been on the internet before,
it's never leaving.
It's probably still there. but about Anthony Mackie, the Falcon. This guy seems cool. I read a little bit about him in the comic books. But
did he really have much of a role like they're giving him in this movie? Or is it kind of like...
Yeah, for sure. He's one of the main guys who's like working for S.H.I.E.L.D. He's got this cool wing suit that allows him to fly.
Right.
And he seems pretty B.A., man. This guy is awesome.
From the first few minutes, he seems really personable and really cool, too, as well.
Oh, yeah. And I love his taste in music.
That's right.
The Trouble Man album.
If you haven't seen the preview, definitely go watch it.
Yeah.
It kind of opens up a lot of the movie, and it's very, very well
done. If you've never heard of the Trouble Man album from 1972 by Marvin Gaye, go ahead and listen to that.
What I'm really looking forward to, though, is the action scenes. I always love the Captain America fighting scenes.
I thought you were going to say ScarJo.
I can't believe they call her that. Like, I get J-Lo. Like, that makes sense. It's kind of catchy. ScarJo sounds dumb. I will happily say the entire name. And I am definitely looking forward
To watching her?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I know why.
But also, they do the fight scenes really well. But it's more of the Captain America fight scenes that I'm really looking forward to, because Captain America as a kid was my favorite superhero. I love the Flash, you know that. But Captain America was my favorite superhero. He's always kind of been...
Dude, now that I think about it, they wear like the exact same kind of mask. And he's like, Captain America, the Flash.
They're kind of, yeah, a little bit. Just different colors.
And
a full spandex suit.
And if you really think about it, if you look at Wally West's character, he's like a lot like Captain America.
Yeah.
Very all-American. Not so much like a Superman. Like, not so hopeful like that.
Right.
But all-American, like blue-collar guy.
Yeah. But in the first 10 minutes that they showed, and they've really upped the bar a little bit. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because on the last time we saw Captain America,
in Avengers,
he was strong and he was super soldier. But he wasn't necessarily more powerful than a lot of people. But in this one, in the first 10 minutes of it...
This looks like a spy flick.
It really encapsulated the excessive strength that Captain America has.
As a human being,
and like how much more powerful he is. Because especially if you compare the Black Widow's fight scenes with Captain America's fight scenes, they're very much different. Whereas Black Widow has to kind of use...
Her agility
and her ability to use other people's momentum against them to fight them. Whereas Captain America, you see him kick a guy in the chest and he goes 20 feet back over the rail. Done.
Yeah.
and it's awesome. And it's absolutely amazing. And so they're really, really, you know, harping on, you know, this is Captain America's real strength. I mean, he's like intelligent and he's smart in the way he leads his teams and he's a great leader, but he's also very, very powerful.
Yeah. And that's not to say that he has superpowers. Don't get anybody confused with this. Captain America, he has just trained or accelerated his conditioning to the peak of human physical perfection.
Mm-hmm.
So I think off the top of my head, I'm not absolutely sure about this, but I think the max that a human can like clean jerk, you know, like weightlifting, like in the Olympics.
Okay.
I think it's like 800 pounds.
That's a lot of weight.
That is a lot of weight.
But
what can you lift? What can you bench press?
Bench press? I don't know. Back when in high school, when I was working out 3 days a week, I could clean jerk 200 pounds.
And that was what?
Hang clean. I could hang clean 200 pounds. Not clean jerk. Sorry.
That was at least your body weight?
That was definitely about 40 or 50 pounds heavier than I was.
Yeah.
But 800 pounds?
800 pounds. And I don't know where they get that number exactly, but I think that's like a rough estimate of what peak human physical perfection can lift. Like,
and you're not going to look as in shape as Captain America. You're going to look beefy.
Right.
Be massive to do that.
But he had the super soldier serum, so he can do whatever the heck he wants.
And I think my favorite part about Captain America, why he's my favorite superhero, quote-unquote, is that he is a normal guy. Like, he wasn't... I know it's like the super serum or whatever, but he's like... He was an average guy, and he's a normal person like us who became something bigger and better because of his own will, essentially.
Right. I think even with all of his strengths and abilities, especially since he, you know, is defrosted and everything, like, he's still totally the fish out of water. And in a lot of ways, like, yeah, you know, he's more powerful than a bunch of other people, but he still, like, doesn't know his place in the world. Unless it comes to, like, military stuff.
Right, and they really show that well. Even in the first 10 minutes, you really get that feeling that he's not quite in the place... Like, he's not quite in the place where he was born. He's definitely kind of fish out of water, like you said.
Yeah.
And it didn't take long to really show that. It's so subtle, but it is so apparent. And they do that so well.
So, Captain America the Winter Soldier. It's got Chris Evans. He's back as Captain America, Steve Rogers. Scarlett Johansson plays the Black Widow, Natasha Romanoff. And Samuel L. Jackson, of course, as Nick Fury. Anthony McKee, he makes his first film appearance in the Marvel Universe as Sam Wilson, or the Falcon.
And then, of course, you can't
Stan Lee. He's always got his little cameo in there. Rumor is that he plays a member of the museum staff. Don't know where we'll see him, but I'm looking forward to it.
I'm always looking
for that. It's like that little Easter egg. Everybody knows it's there. They just got to keep their eyes open. And, of course, Sebastian Stan, who you might remember from the first movie, played Bucky Barnes. He was the guy who was Captain America's best buddy. The last time we saw him, he was helping him out, Captain America, in that train scene, and then he fell to his apparent doom. But apparently, he's back, and
he's fighting.
he is fighting back a lot. And he looks like, considering what he went through, he's in pretty darn good shape.
Yeah. Looks good. I mean, despite the sinister look in his eyes.
Yes. Sebastian Stan, Bucky Barnes, he plays the Winter Soldier, so Captain America's nemesis in this film. Or so we might think. Now, knowing, of course, that he's Bucky Barnes, that gives to the whole thing, you know, they were friends, they're buddies. What happened to him to cause this all to happen? And on top of that, we dug up some information. Sebastian Stan has signed a 9-picture deal with Marvel Studios cinematic universe.
So we're going to be seeing him a lot.
So I'm not sure what this covers. Like, does it cover the first Captain America, or does it start with this one?
It might.
Now, barring that, because it's still, you know, it still gives a lot of flex room. Like, you know, even if you take that film away, that's 8 still, other films yep. to do. So it's this one. Maybe it counts the first one. Probably not, because if he just signed the contract, they're not going to.
He didn't have a lot of showtime in that one either. I mean,
no.
But I guess you could count it even at that point.
A similar contract that was signed was Samuel L. Jackson's, and while he's a big name, he's also very much more of a supportive character. Yeah. You know, he's not the main star in these films. He might show up into a bigger role, but yep. you never know. A lot of people I know on the internet have been putting rumors out there that if Chris Evans wanted to step away from the role as Captain America, because in the comics, Captain America does die at one point and then he comes back to life. There's this whole storyline where Bucky Barnes takes up the mantle of Captain America. Now, this is all speculation. It's all rumors. Take it all with a grain of salt. But you never know. I mean, Sebastian Stan stepping in for like one movie role as Captain America.
I don't know if I'd like that. I mean, it would be true to the comics.
I'm sure they'd do it pretty well if they did that. But, again, it's all speculation. We don't know. Right. The only thing we know, Sebastian Stan signed a 9-picture deal, which starts fueling all these rumors, you know.
Right, of course. So everybody's going to be throwing out anything they can think of at this point.
Right. So that's all we got for Captain America the Winter Soldier.
When is that coming out?
April 4th, 2014.
So far away, though.
What are you talking about? That's like in a week.
It's not today. I want to see it.
Well, oh, I get that, but yeah, go ahead and check that out, April 4th, 2014. And if you haven't seen the first 10, 11 minutes of Captain America the Winter Soldier, get a little sneak peek on the internet. It's floating around there somewhere. So trust me, if we ninjas found it, it ain't that hard to find.
It took us all 5 minutes to find.
So. Yeah. So the next movie we've got on our list is
The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, I can't wait for this one.
I can't wait for Emma Stone.
Oh, you dog.
I mean, they dyed her hair blonde, like bleach blonde. She's still my kryptonite, dude.
She's still pretty cute.
Yeah,
I gotta say though, Andrew Garfield, aren't they dating? They are dating. Andrew Garfield, say what you want about this.
I already don't like him. He's dating Emma Stone.
The dude, I think, plays Peter Parker way better than Tobey Maguire ever did, because he has that snarkiness to him that
right.
It's in the comics. Yeah. I mean, Tobey Maguire, he's nerdy and he looks kind of the part a little bit, but he never had the lip. He never had the sharp wit that Spider-Man always has. He's always got a joke, a little one-liner on the tip of his tongue to throw at, you know, Dr. Octopus or the Green Goblin.
Yeah, and I do like Andrew Garfield as playing Peter Parker. This one person I don't like in this one so far is Dane DeHaan, who plays Harry Osborn.
Ah, dude, that was the guy in Chronicle, right?
Yeah, he played, what was he, the main guy that turned on everybody.
He played Andrew. He was the villain guy.
That's right. That movie was really, really good movie.
He's going to
really
get typecast, I bet you, as this.
But I don't know what it is. I think it's his hair. I hate his hair. But
it's that weird, like, the
it's that
the
weird, emo, terrible, like, looking swoop.
Yeah.
That, like, you just got up in the morning and you tried, but you're like, nah, screw it. But there's that, which is totally irrelevant.
Haven't you had a hairstyle like that?
Yeah, by accident. I just woke up. but that's totally, completely irrelevant to his acting. But the way he plays Harry Osborn, it's terrible. The way he plays Harry Osborn is, I like the way James Franco does it better, because he's very like smooth and he's kind of sinister at the same time, and he just, you know, you like him, like you like the character of Harry Osborn when James Franco is playing him. When Dane DeHaan plays Harry Osborn, I already don't like him. I look at him and I don't like him.
I think it's people who've seen Chronicle, especially, will get this, like, taste in their mouth, like...
Maybe that's it.
He's a villain. Like, I can't imagine him as anything else but a villain. When I've seen James Franco, he's played, like, a number of roles. He's never been typecast as a villain guy. But on top of that, like, especially in the first film, you know, he hasn't turned yet. He's not evil. He wants to avenge his father, but in a very respectful way. Like, you know, I love my father. Right. I wouldn't want him to die. I'm going to get the guy who killed him.
Especially since he was kind of misled. And his butler, who decided until the last movie to tell him.
Worst butler ever, right?
Worst butler ever.
I know. But if you haven't heard, listen to our Spider-Man 3 commentary.
We talk about them.
The movie's stupid, but yeah.
It's awful, but it's fun to talk about. But still, yeah. I mean, I just don't.
James Franco probably did that a lot better.
I did like James Franco did it so much better.
You know who I'm still growing on, because I liked the Aunt May from the old series, who was Rosemary Harris played Aunt May in the old series.
Right.
Sally Field plays Aunt May in this one, and Martin Sheen plays Uncle Ben, who actually, I think, he did a pretty good Uncle Ben, as much as Cliff Robertson was really good.
I think just did an okay job, because I never really felt for Uncle Ben at that point, because I don't know. I don't know what it was, but it might have just been the acting or maybe the way they told the story. But I never really felt that heartbroken for Uncle Ben at that point. It was just kind of the regular. It's just Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really feel for Uncle Ben's death. Like, it was just kind of a reason for him to go after this guy. That's just how I felt in that.
I think they kept adding too many details to the story, too, by the third one.
And then too many villains at the same time.
But no, Martin Sheen, I think he played the heck out of an Uncle Ben role. Mm-hmm. Because he totally played like a fatherly role in this whole thing, where he had his own storyline too, where, you know, he's having his own conflicts with Peter. It's not just, get back here, young man, finish painting this fence. Like, you know, he had some serious conversations with him.
So you feel more for Uncle Ben at this
point. And as much as you didn't get to hear him say, with great power comes great responsibility, he honestly never even said that in the comics.
Did he? Who said it?
It was an internal monologue of Spider-Man's.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm cool with him not saying that. It's just, people expect him to say that when he never did.
Right, because of the original Spider-Man
movie. Yeah.
These are really growing on me, though. Like, when they first started talking about Spider-Man, like, when we first started watching all those, and then The Amazing Spider-Man got previewed and trailered, and they started talking about that, I really wasn't looking forward to it. But the way, you know, all these actors are doing everything, and the way the story's being told, I almost like it better.
You know, we haven't even talked about the main villain yet, Jamie Foxx.
That was interesting. I didn't know he was in the movie, and then I saw a blue face. I go, that looks like Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx plays Electro, also known as Max Dillon.
Does he
wear... Oh, my gosh. Have you seen... Look up the picture of him wearing the comb-over.
That's
ridiculous, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Did he shave his head for this role?
I'm pretty sure he shaved his head. I remember reading something online where his sister is actually his hairstylist as well.
Really?
And they were trying to come up like... How do we do a black guy with a comb over? Like, is it going to look kind of nappy onto one side? Or is it like black guys never get comb overs. They just end up shaving their head because it looks way cooler anyway. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, they did a good job making it look awful.
Yeah. The guy looks like a dork. And that's what Max Dillon was before he became Electro. He's supposed to be this guy, again, kind of like just charged into a new role that he's extremely unfamiliar with. He's imbued with like a crazy amount of power. I mean, imagine being like one of the weakest guys, like the guy who never gets picked on the baseball team. And then all of a sudden, like that. I mean, yeah, that's a pretty good correlation. A guy like that, but then all of a sudden now he's like one of the most powerful beings in the entire universe. Like,
right.
The guy was a little unstable to begin with. So I think
Electro himself.
Yeah, Max Dillon. Mm-hmm.
As in him. Okay.
So when he gets all this power, he just kind of goes nuts. Like, he doesn't know what to do. And what else is the guy going to end up becoming other than some crazy, unstable guy who just has crazy amounts of power? Which, interestingly, is a lot like Dan DeHaan's character in Chronicle. So there you go.
And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, Jamie Foxx does really well in like just about everything he does. I don't think I've ever been disappointed by Jamie Foxx.
Nobody ever thought he could become Ray Charles, because he was known just as a comedic actor from that point on.
And speaking of Jamie Foxx and comb-overs, he has this sweet comb-over in The Soloist.
Oh, that's the one with Robert Downey Jr. in it, right?
Yeah, he did really well on that.
wonder if that's going to be a crossover where Iron Man and Electro have... No, they're not.
No, that'd be dumb.
So Jamie Foxx, he plays Electro, another villain, and I'm hoping it's they're not overloading this like they
Spider-Man
did.
3.
I hope not. But Paul Giamatti makes an appearance as I forget his name. It's like Alexei something. He's like some Russian guy. He's like some Russian low-level mobster, not even mobster, like a henchman guy almost. And he gets this crazy biometric suit where he becomes the Rhino. And it's very different looking in the trailers because
suit
it
looks very cool.
It looks like a mecha suit almost.
Right.
Not like in the comics, it was supposed to be just this like body suit.
It's just like armor.
Just like a giant armored body suit. And he was like, supposed to be like a little guy. And then the crazy stupid part about this, which made the Rhino kind of a funny, somewhat sympathetic character, is that he gets it on himself and he doesn't know how to take it off. So everywhere he goes in the comics, like when he's not being a bad guy, like he's got to go to the liquor store, you know, grab you know some bottle of water or get a sandwich. He's like he has to wear the Rhino suit everywhere he goes because it's like stuck to his body.
Oh man.
And it's kind of hilarious. I don't think they're going to go with that, but I'm pretty sure they're going to it's Paul Giamatti.
It'd be funny.
They're going to probably do a comedic spin on this guy because he's supposed to be this supervillain, and imagine like having a giant mecha suit. That's a lot of power. You can't be taken very seriously if you don't know what you're doing in it. Like,
right.
You know.
Right.
So, I mean, what do you feel about like with all these villains? Because even if they're bit parts, it's Electro, Green Goblin, the Rhino. I've heard there's rumors that Norman Osborn is going to make appearances in here too.
I don't know.
You saw the trailer, right?
Yeah, I did. I saw the Doc Ock suit
and the Vulture suit.
Yeah,
the wings. There's so many different things in here that like. And I've heard rumors that they're trying to set this up for the Sinister Six,
okay.
Which would be awesome.
They'd have to
fit Venom in here at some point then too.
See, my only problem is that as soon as you start adding more than one villain, it makes it really hard to tell the story correctly within the hour and a half, 2 hour window that you've been given.
Because like, you got to give screen time to all these guys,
and yeah, the story just can't be told properly at that point. Like you, like when there's one villain,
it's like the fatal flaw with Batman Returns. Batman Forever.
It's like when there's one villain, you can sit there and you can tell the story and you can kind of get in a, like a real feel for what's going on. But as soon as you add more than one villain, now you're taking away, you're literally cutting in half the amount that you are learning or experiencing about these villains.
Not let alone the hero too.
Right.
You know, it's called Amazing Spider-Man 2. Are we even going to see much of Spider-Man with all these other villains in here?
I don't know. I mean, maybe because of the first one gave so much backstory that they're able to take away from going into the backstory because they've told already, and then they can go into the story of the villains. But that's not just two villains that we've been.
There's
got to
be some significant growth for Peter Parker in this next movie because it's
there's like five villains that they're hinted at.
Yeah,
they're hinted at five villains. There's two definitely in it. Three actually, Green Goblin as well.
Yeah, that counts.
So he's gonna have to do some serious powering up to take down these guys.
Needless to say, I'm still very excited for it because, you know, if I take these as just hints, like, if we just get a hint of the Rhino, like, I don't know, I imagine it'd be cool, like, a pre-movie James Bond scene. Like, you know, in the James Bond movies where you find him, like, mid-adventure doing some crazy stuff.
Of course.
They don't tell him how he started doing that mission. They just
kind of do it.
At the very end, he defeats the bad guy in that one. Then he goes back to MI6, gets his new mission. If they had something like that, like a little teaser, like a cold opening... We're like, boom, he defeats the Rhino, boom, New York City is saved, and then they start developing the story slowly of Electro.
That'd be interesting.
That'd be cool. And then these other bit parts, like the Vulture suit, the Dr. Octopus suit, if these are just like little world-building things, I don't mind that, because if this is a successful franchise, at some point I want to see those villains too.
Yeah, and it kind of gives like the idea that Harry Osborn is kind of housing and creating these villains. Because it looks like that's his laboratory, is it not? That when they're walking through that,
it looks very sinister to me.
Right. So I mean, maybe he has something to do with that. Maybe he's pairing up. They're giving the idea that maybe Harry is actually kind of behind all these villains. That's why they all start kind of showing up.
Yeah. Well, that's Amazing Spider-Man 2. That's coming out May 2nd for the United States. April 16th, I believe, is the international release date. So man, sucks for us and the U.S. But for all our international listeners, all two of them, you'll get to see it a little bit earlier than we do.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. What do you think you're going to preemptive rate this one?
Oh, I'm going to go real strong on this, 8 out of 10.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to stick with a 7. I'm not convinced. I'm just thinking, I think it's going to be good. I'm just afraid of the multiple villains. But that's about it.
Yeah, that's always something. I mean, especially after Spider-Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's, like, so close to home, you got to, like, feel, I hope they don't mess this up. You know, especially since with Spider-Man 3, you'd have to think, hey, we better be careful with adding all these villains, because people totally remember Spider-Man 3. It wasn't that long ago.
Right.
It was only 7 years ago.
It's not long enough to forget how bad it was.
Well, except for the kids who were born in 2007, they probably never saw the first one.
Yeah, so. But then now we're reminding them because we did a whole commentary on it.
Well, we ran out of time to talk about our last two movies, X-Men Days of Future Past and Guardians of the Galaxy, so you'll have to wait for that one, Film Ninjas. That'll probably be coming in another 2 weeks or so. But don't you fret, those movies aren't coming out for another couple months. Guardians of the Galaxy especially, that's not coming out until August 1st. So we got a ways.
Got some time.
We'll talk about it in 2 weeks, but I'm sure we're going to be going over a lot more material as soon as we get that information for you guys. So that'll wrap it up for us on the Film Ninjas podcast. But before we leave you, we're not going to leave you hanging. We're going to give you the trivia question like we promised, because we're not evil. So here it is.
So how did Michael describe the movie Pacific Rim?
And what did Justin compare the Jaegers to?
So this is a two-part, two-answer question that you guys need to contact us with.
But it's in the pretty much same spot in the podcast. So as long as you've listened to it, or if you haven't, we have no idea what we're talking about. They didn't talk about Pacific Rim. Yeah, we did, dummy. Listen to the podcast and you'll find out. So send us your emails to mailbag@filmninjas.com. We'll pour over those answers. We'll announce the winner. We got three spots.
Three t-shirts
to go out. And first three answers, you guys win. We'll announce the winners, I think, next week or so, or whenever we get them. So I'll let you know. All right, Film Ninjas. I'm Michael.
I'm Justin.
Stay shady.
You've been listening to the Film Ninjas podcast.